Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in-depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more, discussing higher education, research, student life, and other topics like today, theater and the arts. I'm Derek Smith, and our guest today is Dr. Deanna Totenbeard. She's the Department Chair of Theater Arts at Baylor, a longtime professor of theater history and dramaturgy, and is co-director of the Baylor in Oxford program. In 2012, she was named a Baylor Teaching Fellow, and she's an active historian focused on early 20th century U.S. theater and drama. She's with us today, Dr. Deanna Totenbeard. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to talk to you.
Thanks for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, it's going to be fun to talk about a topic that's a little different than what we've talked about on the show up to this point, talking about drama and theater. And I think there's a good deal of intrigue for those of us who aren't in that world, just that surrounds your discipline. What do you enjoy most about your job? What do you find most invigorating? Maybe what do you find that people don't know about the work that you do?
That's a great question. I love that theater is represented often in TV and movies, but often it's represented as if we are overly dramatic people or having a lot of drama queens or something like that in our workplaces. But really, that's a myth. The theater is full of people who have to work together to collaborate, to get projects done well on time and on budget. And so we're actually very collegial, very community-oriented, and very practical people. There's not much room for drama queens in the theater. And what I love about theater is the community that we make as a company of artists and craftspeople who make theater, the community that's made when an audience is assembled for a performance. They are a small community while they're there. The relationship between actors and audience that happens live in performance, that to me is just the really good, juicy stuff of life. It's human-to-human contact. It's storytelling. It's the essentials of what it means to be a human. And I never, ever get tired of it.
What attracted you to theater in the first place? How far back did you know that this might be a path for you?
Well, I think like a lot of people, I did theater in high school. I didn't do it before. I did it in high school. I was cast in a play as a freshman. And I think like a lot of people who find their way at that age into a rehearsal hall, the appeal is a sense of belonging and a sense of purpose. You're making something together with other people, and they tend to be a very warm and accepting group of folks who are gathered in a high school theater space. And so it can be a soft place for lots of people at that tender age of high school. So I enjoyed that belongingness, but I had was also already a kid who loved literature. I loved poetry. I loved reading Shakespeare. I liked talking about things that I read. And so my interest got sparked in the plays themselves very early. So I went to college and double majored in theater and English with a literature concentration, where I got to spend all of my days either making theater or talking about things that I was reading. And it wasn't until well after I was out of college that I realized there were career paths where you did those things together. Mm-hmm. And I went and got an MFA in dramaturgy at Stony Brook in New York, where I practiced and learned how to use my interest in literature and criticism and study to support the work of other artists who were making theater. And from there, I fell in love with theater history and went on to get a PhD in that. And again, I just never seem to get tired of new discoveries that I make. And I definitely never get tired of teaching it. I think at my core, I'm a teacher.
Mm-hmm. We're visiting with Dr. Deanna Totenbeard. She's the Department Chair of Theater Arts at Baylor. Is there a personal story or a memory when it really captured you? That moment, maybe as a high school or a college student, when that moment came that you couldn't imagine anything else?
I think the first play as an experience and a text that sort of got its hooks in me was Thornton Wilder's Our Town, one of those plays that some people overlook as being sentimental or sweet, when in fact it's gorgeous and brutal about the human condition. And there's a line in the play where one main character asks another, "Do human beings ever really realize life while they live it, every minute?" And the other character says, "Some do, saints and poets mainly." And something about that message of appreciating life every minute, and how it connected to making theater and showing life to an audience on stage, saying, look at this, look closely at other people, look at stories, look at life, and savor it, because saints and poets do that. And mostly we don't have an opportunity to look closely. Something about that, I think, seeped very deeply into my brain and my DNA mm-hmm. in high school, and I'm still processing that.
Yeah. Now, you're also a theater historian, mm-hmm. as you mentioned. Is there an appreciation you have? It seems like no matter how old so many of these dramas are, what they speak to, you talk about the human condition. Mm-hmm. How much appreciation do you have for how relevant they remain even now in our modern society?
It's fascinating. It really is. I say to my students a lot that art is a well that never runs dry. Every time you go back to a piece of art, a great piece of music, a play, a poem, a painting, every time you go back to it, there's another drink of water for you there. Mm-hmm. If it's art, it always has something for you. And I'm endlessly surprised by that. I was reading a play written in 1879 with my freshmen a couple of weeks ago, and our discussion about gender roles and marriage and the difficulty of finding your path as a young person was reflected in this play and in their 18-year-old lives just as vibrantly as a play that was written last week might do. And isn't that a kind of a little miracle that plays that are old can still speak to us that way and live in that way? It's remarkable, really.
Visiting with Dr. Deanna Totenbeard, and you look at Baylor's theater department, you're already kind of communicating some of what you're imparting into your students. You know, the theater arts department at Baylor has been named one of the top 25 theater departments in the country by College Factual. What are some of the reasons that that's the case? What are some of those Baylor distinctives that you see when you interact with your students?
I think that Baylor Theater has a very strong sense of community. We have a lot of traditions. We have a lot of family lines within theater students from generations that creates continuity. Students have a strong sense of a bigger community that they're part of by being at a theater student at Baylor. And I think it shows up in our classrooms, the way they talk to each other, the way they treat each other. The seriousness with which they approach each other's work reflects that relationship they have with each other. I also think we're a top program because we train our students really, really well. My colleagues are great design teachers, great tech teachers, great acting teachers, and our students get tremendous skills while they're at Baylor. And so from the time they're freshmen until they're seniors, the growth is remarkable, and they leave really well prepared to go into lots of areas of show business and entertainment. And a lot of times a theater program can take good care of students without also training them well. It can tend to their lives while they're 18 to 22, but maybe not prepare them for future success. And I think we do a really good job of both of them. And I think that has a lot to do with the Christian commitment of our faculty and our staff, the way we give pastoral care to our students, the way we invest in their whole lives with our whole lives. I think you can feel a difference because of that particular, that's so distinctively Baylor.
What does that look like, training them for excellence? Because it seems like, you know, they want to do well in a given role, but you're training them, as you said, for things that go far beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing it means is that we cross-train everybody. So a student may enter and say, what I really know is that I'm an actor, and I'm an actor who sings and dances. And we'll say, that's great. We're going to give you some acting classes and singing classes and dancing classes that will really hone those skills. But also, here's how you focus lights. Here's how you build things really well out of wood. Here's how you sell tickets, not just sell tickets, but do PR for shows. Here's what it means to run a company. Here's how you do research for any kind of project that you might find in your professional life. We train them in all areas of theater and academically in theater so that when they graduate, they have this toolbox full of useful skills. And many of our students who do identify mostly as performers find that their first jobs professionally in theater are in the technical end of theater. And from there, they become company members and start to get roles because they are around the theater or in the city where the theater is happening. Very, very often we have students who, by the time they graduate, have two strong professional in theater, two strong professional focuses. So they may be in the same season as a senior, starring in one show and designing costumes for another show. And when they graduate, they're ready to be hired in either of those areas. And that's what I mean by professional preparation and skills that we give them to walk out the door with.
You know, you've talked about some of the ways that drama and theater can teach us about life, really broad things. But you also mentioned the word practical early on in the show. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, you have a stage and it's only so big and you have to utilize it to the best of its ability. You have a certain number of performers all at varying skill levels. And you've got to help them perform to the best of their ability. How much does that the experiences in Baylor Theater help students learn to maximize what they have in front of them, because that's really what they have to do in a lot of different ways as they work on a stage or a drama or in
those, or a boardroom, right, or anywhere. And that's what we all do, right? Mm-hmm. We maximize what we have. I like how you phrase that. I mean, the bottom line is that theater has to happen when we say it's going to happen. You know, people are going to show up, so we have to be on time, we have to be on budget, and we have to make it look wonderful and a little bit effortless. Mm-hmm. And those are tremendous self-presentation skills and communication skills that translate to so many areas of life. That's why we have a lot of students who are in sales, a lot of students who are in law, a lot of students who are in the ministry, who are teachers of various topics, because they learn how to present ideas in compelling ways, how to show, not just say, what they want to express, and they learn how to do it very efficiently, because we have to be efficient.
That's a good word, efficiency. Visiting with Dr. Deanna Totenbeard on Baylor Connection. She is the department chair of theater arts at Baylor, and we've talked a lot about you as teachers and students, but you mentioned that the audience there is a community. What do you impart to students as far as their responsibility to bring that audience into what they're doing? What's the responsibility they have to that audience?
We do have a responsibility to our audience. We have brought them to this theater. We have a promise to take good care of them. And that doesn't mean to just show them something that's easy. Often our responsibility is to present difficult stories, stories that will cause some friction in a response that an audience member may have, but to do so kindly and gently, to do so with excellence is our responsibility. It's a well-known fact in educational psychology and in other areas of study that human beings seem wired to learn best through story. If you want somebody to learn facts, present them in the form of story. It's probably a survival tool that we developed a long, long time ago and around a campfire, that communicating important information to the group through story is going to be very effective. And so when we bring an audience together, we've made a little community, and we tell them a story, and we need to tell them a story that matters. It could matter because it will feel good, and that's not something to underestimate. It could matter because it teaches several important facts about the world that people should sort of chew on, think about. It could be important because it speaks immediately to the audience's lives and what they're living that day. And it's likely that 10 people sitting in the same row at one of our plays is having 10 different sort of experiences because of their individuality and the life that they're leading. And we need to take good care of all of them and provide them with something that's worth their time.
How do you and your colleagues, again, talking about efficiency and utilizing what you have, you only have a certain amount of time each year for production. So how do you go about the process of choosing which ones best encapsulate what you just described?
Oh, it's hard. It's very difficult. And we are right now in conversation about plays that will be in our 2019-2020 season. We'll set those titles in November because it takes us that long to prepare all of the productions. And the conversations that we have in making those decisions have lots of variables or lots of points of discussion. They include the needs of our students. How many roles are we able to provide? Are they the roles that are right for the students who will be juniors and seniors, especially people who are at the top of their game and really need big, juicy roles? Are they the roles that are right for those, that population of students? Are they the right blend of gender in terms of who we have, who's coming up? We think a lot about that. We think about a variety of kinds of styles across a season, not only so that our audience who comes to every show gets a little bit of everything in a few months of a season, but also so that our student actors and student designers and student technicians get the experience of working on many kinds of shows, styles, tones of shows. So to create a season that meets the roles that students need, gives a lot of variety of tone and style, and is also something that we think our audiences want and our directors and designers feel like doing, that's a puzzle. Mm-hmm. It really is. And it takes us a while to sort it out, but we seem to come to a good season every November, so I'm trusting we're going to do it again this year.
Absolutely. Visiting with Dr. Deanna Totenbeer, Chair of Theater Arts at Baylor. And later on in the program, as we close, I want to ask you to talk a little bit about the season that's upcoming here, and we'll look at what's upcoming. But I want to ask you, I'm guessing we've got people listening who haven't been to a Baylor Theater Department. What would you like to tell them about that experience, what to expect? It can be as simple as when to show up and how to dress to what they should be prepared for.
Sure. Well, we have a couple of really great theater spaces that we do our main stage shows in. So you might be in our thrust space, the Maybe, which seats about 250 people, so it's not too big and feels really good. You're never too far from the action. Or you could be in our Jones Theater, which seats about 100 more, say 350, and it's a sort of traditional picture frame stage. See a lot of big musicals in that space. So you might see two different spaces. You can come exactly as you are. We're not picky about what you're wearing. Just come. We want to see you. And what you're going to see is talent that you didn't know was right here locally, that you didn't know was on Baylor campus. It's all undergraduate students that you're seeing in those shows. You're not going to believe it when you see how good many of them are, how good they sound, how well they act. You won't believe it. They're as young as they are. They're phenomenal. So you're going to see some talent, and you're going to see some amazing design. I think that our production quality in terms of what the shows look like and sound like is not to be matched at any undergraduate programs I've ever visited, and I've been to many. I think it's an exceptional quality of production. So you may not even realize the treasure that's right nearby here on campus.
Well, and again, we'll tell people a little bit more about how they can get tickets and what's upcoming here a little later on in the program. I'm going to ask you, Baylor's new academic strategic plan, Illuminate, it features four foundational pillars, and one of them is human performance through arts and athletics. I mean, and Baylor picked four things, and your department was a big part of one of those four foundational pillars. Of course, it touches every department.
It
but
does.
Especially it's going to impact you all. What does that inclusion in that strategic plan mean to you and your colleagues?
Well, obviously, it means a lot to us to recognize what we have felt for a long time, which is that the things that are happening in the arts at Baylor are holding up, supporting, providing for all aspects of the campus, that it's not just the arts for art students, it's for everybody. It's supporting what's happening across campus. And a pillar, the language of pillar, suggests that in a way that feels really true to us. So we're excited about the inclusion of all of the arts in Illuminate. And Illuminate has this language in it, pulled from Pro Futurist. I'm not going to quote it well off the top of my head, but it says that the purpose of the plan is to illuminate discoveries and ways of solving problems, as well as to illuminate or shine light on the breadth of creation of God's world. And I think it's easy to imagine that what we do in theater is on the second half of that phrase, because we do that, right? We're a creative group, we're a creative discipline, and we reveal creativity, God's creativity, the creativity of the human experience. But I think that we are also in that first half of the phrase, because what we do in theater also reveals solutions to complex problems. We tell stories, we bring people together in community, and we show how people might interact with each other. A story is different than a debate, right? In a debate, you have to dig your heels in and try to shoot down the ideas of another person. In a story, you receive lots of different opinions and voices, and you sort of process it and figure out what you think about it. And that's what we do in theater. We don't offer debates. We offer stories. And I think that that's a solution to some problems that we see in all parts of public life right now. And in that way, I think we're right at the heart of what Illuminate wants to do, and I'm proud that we're a pillar.
I know it's early in the process. There's still more development to come with that, but as you anticipate what that could mean for theater looking down the line, what stands out to you?
Well, there's a lot of possibilities. There's a lot of partnership possibilities. The thing that I'm most excited about is that the energy and vitality that moving forward in Illuminate, moving forward towards research goals, is going to bring to campus will excite every corner of campus, that we don't do the kind of research that our neighbors in other disciplines do is not a negative. It's an opportunity, and it's exciting to be someplace where there's going to be more energy and momentum in every corner. What that will ultimately mean for our projects is not yet decided, and it's hard to imagine yet because it's still to be, but it's going to be full of energy, and I have nothing but enthusiasm for it.
We are visiting with Dr. Deanna Toten Beard from Baylor Theater Arts, and we're heading into the final couple of moments of the program here, so don't want to let this go. We need to talk about what's upcoming in Baylor Theater as we head into the holiday months and second semester. What can people anticipate?
Well, we will have a show in November called Ice Glen. It opens on November, let's see, it's after Thanksgiving. It opens November 27th, and it's directed by one of our graduate students who's getting an MFA in directing. It's a fabulous play set in the American Northeast in the early part of the 20th century about people finding their path in life together through community. Then we will have a play called Peter and the Star Catcher, which is a Peter Pan story. Very exciting play. One of the most produced plays of the 2017-2018 professional season around America. Look for that to be a great time out at the theater. In the middle of the spring, we'll have Mnemonic, which is a postmodern play that explores memory, future, history. We'll have a lot of projections in it and interesting technological partnerships in that play. And our last show of the season is The Liar. It's a really fun adaptation of an 18th century play written now in a very funny verse by a 20th century American, 21st century, really, American playwright. So expect period costumes and contemporary jokes. So we're going to end with a lot of fun.
Well, that's great. We'll look forward to that. And if people just Google Baylor Theater, they can find the schedule, they can find the dates and ticket information.
Baylor.edu/theater.
That sounds great. Well, Dr. Deanna Toten Beard, time went pretty fast today, but thank you so much for your time. Really enjoyed this conversation. Hope
Me
people
too.
Will check out the work you all are doing.
Thanks so much.
Dr. Deanna Toten Beard, Department Chair of Theater Arts at Baylor and Professor of Theater History and Dramaturgy, our guest today on Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith. A reminder, you can hear this and other programs online at baylor.edu/connections, and you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. I'm Derek Smith. Thanks for joining us on Baylor Connections.